All right, welcome everyone. Welcome aboard. It's going to be a good topic. This is one where it pops up all the time with business owners. Show of hands, who here knows at some level they sabotage their results? Show of hands. Here's the thing. I don't think it's possible to avoid this. It's close to impossible to live to your absolute potential, right? Your absolute potential is just simply not all that reachable because we're human. At some level, we're all sabotaging some kind of result, right? Some kind of aspect of life that matters most to us. We kind of have to, don't you think? The question is, how can we become more and more aware of it? How can we become more and more aware of it? Providing awareness to it, providing light to it, it almost transmutes the challenge in and of itself. So I'm glad you're here and glad you're listening to this, because if you want more results, obviously in business, we want to have further reach. We want to have more and more clients coming aboard, more and more income, create more and more of an impact. We're all doing that. And at some level, we're also holding ourselves back while also going forward and then up and down and around and all over the place. If that sounds a little bit like you, then this is the chat we need to have. This is the conversation that is going to provide a bit more of awareness. And hopefully your actions can reflect that, so that you can feel a little less resistance with going to your next level. We all have a next level that's in mind that we want to get to, right? It might be 10xing your income. It might be doubling your income. It might be having doubling the community that you have, or the reach of your podcast, whatever it is. We all want a result. We all have something in mind that we want to achieve, correct? Show of hands, who's on board? We have something in mind. Awesome. Question is, how do we limit the resistance to how we show up? Limit the resistance to achieving that outcome. Because if you weren't self-sabotaging at some level, you would have already achieved it, right? There's got to be some kind of resistance there, especially if you've been trying to achieve it for a long time. So I've got 5 key areas. I taught this when I was creating a workbook. I got everyone to go through the concepts of this workbook. And I created 5 sort of mental handbrakes in how we sabotage ourselves. So I'll go through those 5 things. I'll just highlight them, and then you can see where you fit within these handbrakes, these 5 mental sabotaging patterns that we have. And if you have a pen and paper, all I want you to do is write it down and provide some awareness to it. And then at the end, I'm going to open up the floor and we can have a discussion, whether it's something that resonates with you and you want to discuss around the 5 mental handbrakes, or whether it's your own experience and what you've learned, what you've gone through that you think may be able to help people. That'll provide an all round coaching call that I think people have some takeaways. Sound good? Beautiful. I've got the thumbs up from Ken, and that's all I need. So let me share my screen. Here we go. Let me go through these. As I go through these, I want you to take notes and see what resonates with you and see what you've noticed in your own patterns. And we provide more awareness to it. And then we can, from that, set a platform to be able to shift your action and your being, so that there's less resistance to your next level. So if you're trying to get to this next level, one thing, of course, we need to look at, they all start with S, by the way, are, of course, your stories. It's often said, The only reason why you don't have something is the story you're telling yourself about why you don't have it. Have we heard this before? The only reason why you don't have something is the story you're telling yourself around why you don't have it. So, question to you, what is that story? The story may be, I don't have the time, I don't have the income, I don't have the influence, there's something wrong with me. What are some of the stories you say about yourself? One of the things that I call myself saying and believing is that I'm just not like those successful people. I'm just different. That's not me. You know, when I was growing, when I started a group and growing the serving circle, I had this story that I'm not a leader, right? I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not going to be I'm just not the kind of person you find, you know, that's creating a movement. I'm more of a quiet person who goes with the flow and follows rather than leads. I was telling myself all those stories. Right. Also tell myself stories nowadays. Like if I go to the next level, I'm like, I don't know what I do with the money. So what are your stories? A simple question is, what are the reasons why you tell yourself why you don't have what you want? What are those stories? Does anyone want to either type in the chat or raise their hand and share what stories they recognize within themselves? Feel free to unmute yourself or raise your hand or your virtual hand. If something comes up, it'd be good to see. If not, you can just write it down yourself. But does anyone feel called to share? Go, Barbara.
Well, what comes up for me is I don't know how to do it. I've not done it before.
Yeah, cool.
And also, am I going to attract the right people to me?
Okay.
That are going to help me be even more successful.
Okay. So that's more of a question. The question is, hey, am I going to attract the right people? But a story could be, I'm not going to attract the right people.
Okay. Oh. And I don't do the not. I can see that. I'm not going to attract the right people. That's why I can't be just wildly successful. Yeah, I got it. But I think it's more for me is I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, but totally. Show of hands, who else has been there? We're like, I just don't know how to do this. Show of hands. At some level, we have to do that. If you knew how to do something before you do it, we wouldn't do anything. We didn't know how to walk before we started to try to learn how to walk, right? It's a number one story, but it's also true. I don't know how to do this, but there's the underlying belief in that means I can't, or I can't figure it out. Is it just as true that you can figure it out while also not knowing how? It's the only way, right? We're not going into reframing right now, but we all know the power of reframing, but we're just identifying the stories right now. But it's just simply to highlight that no one knows what the hell they're doing, but people are still out there doing things, right? Very important. Well done, Barbara. Round of applause. It's important to highlight that. Once you highlight it, provide more awareness to it, it'll have less of an impact on your unconscious. Rosemary, what do you have for us?
So I can sort of relate. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I can sort of relate a little bit to what Barbara said. I don't know how to do it, but I'm determined to figure it out or to get the help. So it's yes and no on that part of it. Yeah. My biggest thing is I'm looking at all these other experts in the field and I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough, or I don't know how to vocalize what I want to say. Those are my bigger fears.
Okay, beautiful. Awesome. Highlight those stories, write them down. That's going to be very important. to highlight that. Any other questions, any other shares we have here? This is something you continue to ask yourself. What are the stories? It's the number one thing in my meditations, really, when I'm holding space for all the emotions. It's also just observing the stories that's going on in my mind. Michael, what do you have for us?
Hey, Tyson. Hey, everyone. Great to be here. Thanks to my wife, I'm able to be here with you guys. Thank you, Tyson, for having us. One thing that comes up a lot, and being around a lot of coaches, is I guess I kind of like play small.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me that, you know, I go over their heads. So it's like finding your right audience, because, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do. And it's really attracting the right audience, not feeling like you have to, you know, speak a certain way or act a certain way to fit in. That's mm-hmm. that's the one thing that really, and really, I guess, when I show up, I don't even realize that I'm trying to people please.
Yeah.
Instead of really showing up, it's like, oh, let me tell them what they want to hear. Yeah. And then I'm so concerned about reaching the right audience that I'm not being authentic with myself and with the people that I'm sharing with.
Beautiful. Good share. Yeah, definitely write down those stories to do with, you know, the story may be that I need to keep them happy, or I, you know, what I need to say has to resonate with them, or whatever it may be. There's some story there that's causing more of the people-pleasing kind of behaviors, right? And especially as coaches, we can't just, you know, be in a space of helping them feel good about themselves if they need to also see some things, right? Sometimes we need to say it how it is, that's often uncomfortable, to help them with the transformation. We can do it with a lot of love, but highlighting truth is also very important, right? So write down those stories, write down the things you're telling yourself that may be limiting you with reaching out to people or mastering that communication that you described. That's going to be important. Serena, what do you have for us?
Hello. So I found that the energy and motivation reflects straight back into business when I was first building it up, so that if I didn't feel like working, you know, we all have those days as an employee and, you know, we just turn up and do the work and it all happens. But in one's own business, I can find that the motivation and energy can reflect back into less clients or less things, projects coming along. So one has to be a little bit more vigilant to that. What do other people think about that?
Mm. Totally. We'll leave that question for the end, because we'll do an open-ended Q&A, and we'll see what sort of discussion we can create. But it is very important. I mean, being self-employed, your energy is a very, very important part, right? So do we all have some stories written down? We all have some beliefs and thoughts. The reason why we want to write those down and highlight them is because they're often unconscious. They often come with just this belief that we think it's fact. It's fact I'm not good enough. It's fact that I don't know what to do with the money. It's fact that X, Y, Z. Correct? And when we just believe them and think that they're fact, they go unquestioned. Once they're highlighted and put on paper, we can start questioning. Okay, we'll move on. So the stories. The next S of sabotage is self-identity. The strongest force, psychologists say, in the human psyche is the ability to remain consistent with how you see yourself. Number one force in the human psyche. Pretty powerful, right? Is to remain consistent with how you see yourself. So how do you see yourself? Those who see themselves as a success are going to consistently, like almost obsessively, continue to be a success. Like they do not want to fall beneath a particular line of success that goes against their self-identity. So how do you describe yourself? How do you describe yourself? Like, I went through this. I even just last week, I hurt my neck for whatever reason. Doing some exercise, hurt my neck. Woke up the next morning, couldn't move it. And I actually had a bit of a self-identity crisis because I couldn't exercise for a week. And it was killing me. I know, because that's my self-identity. I'm just the kind of person who exercises every day. It's not just something I do. It's who I am. Right? Now, that of course, that leads to me needing to detach from who and what I am is what I do, and who and what I am is the amount I exercise. I needed to do that work that was in my expansion. But the question is, we all see ourselves as something. Is it serving you? And is it helping you move closer to what you're called to? Is it helping you move closer to your next expansion and your next level in business? Or is it sabotaging? Right? So how do you describe yourself? Even if you start off as personal characteristics, I'm compassionate, I'm kind, I'm caring, I'm resourceful, I'm whatever. Determined. What is your level of self-identity when it comes to success in business? Do you see yourself as a success? Do you see yourself as successful? Like, is getting online or offline and finding one client for your business, is that a success? Some people it is. Ride that momentum. But if you're seeing yourself, if you're judging yourself based on other people's success, and therefore you see yourself as unsuccessful, your mind is always going to try and remain consistent with being unsuccessful. Correct? Similar with people who are, you know, trying to exercise, trying to lose weight, trying to be healthy, and they just say, like, I'm just an unhealthy person. Not I have unhealthy habits or I have unhealthy patterns, but I'm an unhealthy person. That's who and what I am. The brain's going to always remain consistent with those, with that identity. So how would you describe yourself? Who are you in business? And how do you see yourself in relation to the level of success that you want to see for yourself? Serena, you have your virtual hand raised. There's something you want to add here?
Yes, I would now consider myself successful, a wise and helpful therapeutic counselor and part-time business mentor. But there were times, I think, where I doubted myself and felt that I had to have more and more qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that in a lot of people in business too, where they will feel that they need to, even though they've probably got all the skills and experience that they need, they'll need to continue to get more and more qualified before they help people. And I think that can be sabotaging in itself.
Mm. Totally, totally. Well said. All right, moving on. Safety. Where is growth found? Inside your comfort zone or outside your comfort zone? Always outside your comfort zone, correct? The brain's always in conflict. The brain wants to stay with what's safe, what's comfortable, and what's familiar. I can fall into this trap as well. You know, I'm a full-time coach. I live on a tiny island with my apartment over the ocean. Like, I can think, hey, things are pretty comfortable here. And sometimes that leads me to being stagnant. My brain's just like, hey, you got a good thing going. Cool. But as we know, you're either growing or dying, as Tony Robbins says. So you're either growing or you're dying. There's nothing that's stagnant. Nothing's stagnant in this world. right? So I can find myself getting stagnant and getting wrapped in this thing of my brain saying, you got a good thing going, remain doing what you're doing. Remain with what's familiar. Time again, business will help you evolve and grow in that way. It's always saying, hey, you need to evolve. You need to give more value. You need to do something different. You need to elevate yourself in this way, right? And that's all found outside your comfort zone. So your brain's trying to remain with what's safe, comfortable, familiar, while your soul is saying, hey, you need to elevate. You need to grow. You need to expand. You need to get outside your comfort zone. And then it's that conflict. I think we all understand that. I got a couple of questions for you. One, what do you find is familiar? What do you find that is safe or comfortable that you know you need to evolve past? That's one. So what do you find in your business that you think, hey, it's super safe, comfortable, familiar, and that you need to evolve past? Just as an awareness question. And two, I want to provide some awareness to this thing called a safe problem. Has anyone heard of the term a safe problem? This is often one of the biggest insights for the clients I've worked with in the last 7 years, is providing insight into where they have safe problems. A safe problem is a problem that unconsciously you deliberately continue to stay safe, to stay with what's familiar, to stay with what's comfortable. Examples. A lot of time we have financial challenges because we know if we were to make more money, we'd face a bigger fear than if we didn't. Sometimes in relationships, people get in little, you know, in relationships, we have little quarrels and little things that come up and little nagging and complaints and arguments and these sort of things, because they realize if we weren't fighting and everything was okay, we would have to face an even bigger challenge that's more scary. Right? You know, you hear this all the time with some people who are overweight. They say, yeah, but if I lose all the weight, then I'll have to deal with this thing. Have you guys heard this? It's like sometimes women, because they're such like sensitive, safety-seeking creatures, they, out of defense, will put weight on their body and sabotage their own health because they know, hey, if I lose all this weight, I might get attention off men. That's not wanted. So your little challenges in life, what are the small little challenges, small little problems, we'll call them, that just consistently pop up, whether it's with your health, whether it's with your relationships, in business? The reason why I say also other areas is because sometimes you'll get in quarrels with your partner because you know that unconsciously, if things were going really well, you'd have to go back to your business where it's even more scary. Are we all getting this? There are some things. A safe problem is a problem that your brain adopts to remain safe. Because it knows if it didn't have that problem, you would have to face an even bigger fear. And often that fear is related to the threat of I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. It's one of the core fears we have. We'll get into that in a little bit. But it's the biggest thing that's causing sabotage in business is this core fear that I'm not enough. I won't be good enough. And if I'm not enough, I won't be loved. So instead of facing that core wound and that core trauma of not being enough and not worthy of love, we sabotage ourselves by just creating these simple little problems. I don't know what to do with my tech. I don't know what to do with my marketing. I don't know what to do with these things, which avoids doing sales calls. Does that one land? It'll be a lot of people, guarantee it, if you're willing to look at it. I've got these problems called, I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm doing with my tech. I haven't got my marketing strategy right. I don't have my business plan, and I'm still organizing all of that. And the first thing I see is that a problem that's causing you to be safe of just getting on the phone and offering something? All right. But here's the thing, getting on the phone and offering something risks your biggest fear. If I'm rejected, if they don't like me, if I'm being myself and they say no, cause the biggest fear of all. And that's feeling like I'm not enough and therefore not worthy of love. Does anyone want to open up and share about this, where they notice a safe problem in their life or in their business? Anyone want to share?
I have.
Go for it. What do you have for us?
As you were saying, I have the weight problem, because if I lose all the weight, then I have to deal with, what if I'm still not good enough? And it's not even about that.
Yeah, totally. Round of applause for Kim. Huge awareness. How cool. Yeah. If I figure this out and I'm my ultimate health and I'm still not enough, holy shit. At least if I have the weight, I can say it's not that I'm not good enough. It's just that I have this weight.
Very and also smart. It's other people. Other people don't like the extra weight. Mm. It's really, you know, they shouldn't have that bias. It's not me, really, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's them. Right. Everyone should be asking themselves a question. What's the story your mind saying? Where the narrative is, it's not that I'm not good enough. It's just XYZ. It's just that I'm overweight. It's just the opinions of other people. It's just that they don't get it. That's going to provide huge awareness. That provides us a lot of things to work with. Within personal development, as a coach in a session, that provides so much. And once you start resolving that, my God, the transformation on the other side is so powerful, because it goes such to an unconscious place. All of a sudden, you'll start succeeding at a next level without even trying. Seriously, without even trying. You'll find yourself getting on sales calls and it's just you're not emotionally charged by it. Anyway, this call is mostly about providing awareness, because that's the first step. We've got Alice, what do you have here in terms of safe problems or this topic of safety?
It takes me a while to unmute. Thank you. Well, I'm kind of in the same boat with the weight. That happened to me, even what you said in the beginning, because I didn't want the attention.
Yeah.
So then I also noticed that because of that, I have created a pattern in my life where I do not like being like in the front. Unless I'm in a class, I want to be right in the front so I could listen. That part, yes. But I don't like the attention. Mm. And I didn't realize that until recently, that I don't mind all the behind the scenes. I don't mind writing and investigating and doing. But for me to do something like right now here in the call, it's okay. I'm a little comfortable. But whenever I'm with my husband doing videos in the past, when we've done that, I'm always sitting in the back. Mm. I sit behind him. I don't sit side by side. I sit behind. And then if I tend to hear him, he's very knowledgeable in his words that he uses. And if I feel that I don't measure up, I'm like, and I make myself small because I don't like the attention. But I know it started with that. And if I may be bold, actually, started junior high, even I would always wear a sweater. I would always, never would you see me sleeveless. I would always wear a sweater and cover up. And I realized, again, I'm covering up because I didn't want attention. And I know it comes from the abuse as a child. Yeah. So I recognize But how do I take that away from me being able to grow in my business? That's the part that I get too embarrassed, very embarrassed. That's another one. Yeah. I have many things from, but I'll go ahead and give somebody else a chance.
Yeah, no, we appreciate your share. Everyone, like, we all appreciate these shares because it's, as you share, it's almost like you're providing light to it. You know, I get on a group call with three other guys twice a month, and we just share everything that we're going through for that exact reason, just an open space to just, instead of living with these things, we just share. We hold space for each other and we just share vulnerably because you provide light to it as you share. So thank you, everyone. Rosemary, what do you have here?
So, or I should have said hello to everybody before, but sorry. Hello again, but glad to be here. Yeah, so over the decades, I did a lot of self-sabotage. And like you said at the beginning, Tyson, we still, it's not that we ever stop self-sabotaging. There's always something that will come up in life. But one of the biggest things for me, like I said before, is not feeling good enough or smart enough. So then you keep on looking for the next course, the next book to read, the next information, because I need more info. And then I'll be really good at what I'm doing. And then you get all this info and it's so much that you don't even know where to start to look. Mm-hmm. So what I've done two things now this past week, I've committed to two speaking engagements. So once I recognize that, hey, I've got enough information, I just need to get out there and do it. And don't even think about it. Just do it. Because the more you think about it, the more fear comes up. Yeah. And then you second guess. So that was my thing. I need more info. You know, experience is a lot to do with being authentic and talking about what it is that you want to talk about.
Yeah, totally. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. All right, moving on to number four. This is something we have touched upon, but it's what I will call right now status. To be frank, something I had to name to start it with S. That was the word I came up with to highlight your brain's need to feel unique, wanted, right, significant, loved. While you go out there and start succeeding, you risk failure, right? You risk this thing the brain's trying to hold on to, we will call status. There's more and more research coming out of just how much status plays a role in our psyche, in our lives, and when we're interacting with people. Instantly, you meet six strangers and instantly, unconsciously, people are organizing who's the leader. How much status do you have? We often might not want to admit it because in the spiritual circles, we like to say, oh, I don't believe in status, or I don't give power to people who have more influence, more money, more belongings, more anything, right? But it's unconscious in the brain, right? It's unconscious in the brain. You feel different when you're around people that you feel like you have some influence, right? Compared to some people that you feel like you don't have influence. We get this? We're instantly always trying to organize ourselves so that we have more status. Status in our knowledge, status in our level of success, status in how we're perceived, how we show up in the world, whatever that may be. So while you're trying to succeed and trying to level up your success, you're also risking this brain's need to not lose status, to not get rejected, to not fail, to not look silly, to not make mistakes. Make sense? So in a way, we stay safe, number three, so we don't risk our loss of status that we have. So question, where do you notice this pattern in yourself? Where do you notice this pattern that says, I want to succeed, I want to show up in the world, I want to level up, get to my next level, but at some level, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to lose this thing that I call self-importance, the need to feel unique, need to feel special, need to feel loved. Don't want to lose that. Where does this show up for you? Jillian, what's coming up for you?
Okay, well, I really have this problem because I'm a physical therapist, and that's kind of my persona, even though I'm only part-time these days. So when I show up as my network marketing self, I don't have the power that I have as the professional when I'm with a patient. And I don't seem to be able to transfer the confidence or the feeling that I can do or market the same way, because I've done the other thing for so many years. It's like riding a bike. I go to a patient, I walk into people's houses, no problem, talk to them, no problem. Then I get to thinking about, you know, talking about my product and my mouth won't open.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, wait a minute, where did the other person go?
Yeah.
It's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, I can chat to other people like online. I don't have problems with that. But somehow I feel, I don't know, I always had that thing about the money thing. And with my job, I don't have to do it because people say, well, you know, how much is that, whatever. Or, well, you know, this is nothing to do with me. That's the company.
Mm.
But I can't do that with my product because I've got to tell them. And it's a big problem.
Yeah.
It really is. I was like, when you said it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I recognize this.
Yeah, kudos. Yeah, it's so true. When we're selling something that's not tied to our identity or ourself, very easy, isn't it? Because it's not to do with me,
mm-hmm.
right? Similar to what Kim's saying about the weight. Oh, it's not that I'm not good enough. It's just they have this opinion, or it's just that I have this weight or whatever. As soon as we start to sell something that is more tied to us, it becomes a lot more challenging because you're risking this thing called status. Good awareness. Jot that down. The awareness is gonna provide a lot. Maybe we'll do the call next week. Starting to, now that we have awareness, starting to actually resolve these things. Because Jillian, I could put another S here, and that is your state, your mental and emotional state. The state in which you show up when you sell something that's not tied to you is completely with confidence. But then your mental and emotional state, when it is tied to you, maybe hesitation, maybe confusion, maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit shy. You know, your mental and emotional state is completely different.
Yeah. Right? It's just not me. I feel like I'm two people.
Yeah, you are. Well, to be fair, you're more than two people. You have multiple sub-personalities that, you know, we could dive into. Maybe we'll do that next call. Maybe next week we'll dive into this because...
Well, yeah. I mean, I have the mother, the grandmother, the physical therapist, and then I have the network marketer, and that one's losing.
I wouldn't say it's losing. I'd say you're definitely evolving into it as you're growing. Definitely. Yeah. You're definitely practicing that and working on conditioning that muscle. Every mental and emotional state is a muscle that we can practice. Right?
Yeah.
So you're doing a good job and providing the information here and your share and being open on this call is a huge step, right? So give yourself a pat on the back for that.
Thank you.
No worries. All right. I mean, even the way this shows up for me, before any call, despite me doing these for years, the collaborative call and, you know, some of these group coaching calls and stuff, like there's a part of me that always freaks out before I press the start button because I'm like, how many people are going to show up? Right? My status is attached to how many people show up. Do they enjoy it? Do they get value? There's a part of me that always freaks out. That hasn't gone away, but I just don't let that run the show. I'm like, if it's just me on there, I'll have fun with just talking to myself, you know? And it can be a podcast episode or whatever, just a solo one. But if people show up, cool, I'll serve to the best of my ability. You know, these, you got to be aware of where these things run into it. Because my brain would go, oh, let's do these maybe every month, or maybe every second week. And we'll do the collaborative call every month, because then maybe more people will join and maybe I might feel a bit better about myself. Interesting. Alice, what do you have?
Okay, well, Julian, and I was very inspired by what she was saying, because I hadn't noticed that in myself as much. But when she started speaking, I realized that I have multiple, super multiple personalities, if you want to call it. But I have been in sales, I would say probably since childhood, to be honest. I would sell used newspapers to people and they would buy them for me because they felt sorry for me, or painted rocks, right? But I've never really been able to feel comfortable selling what I'm supposed to be selling now, or what I do now, which involves something that is intangible, because it is a service, right? It's a service of meditation, of self-love, and helping women come out of their, if they've been abused, et cetera, right? But I can go into real estate and sell a house like nothing, because I'm not selling the house, even though it's tangible, right? It's already, you know, marketed, it's already there, and I go show it, and I get involved with the buyers and so forth. Or when I'm a teacher, that's like, I could sit in a classroom with 39 kids, 40 kids, I don't care. It doesn't scare me, and I can do it so easily. Yeah. And I love it, right? So there's a lot of different things that I can do, and I'm confident. But in this change in my life and the way that I transformed everything that I am and be and do, I have the stigma of being asked, well, what certifies you to do this?
Yeah.
Who says you can do this? And because I don't have a piece of paper that shows it, right? I have a license for my real estate. I have my schooling for being a teacher, all of those other things. But what certifies me to do this? And what I've come up with, and I don't know if this is we're not resolving it, I know, but my biggest thing is, okay, maybe I'm not certified, but I know I'm qualified, because I've been in such a dark place that I know how it feels to be beaten, to be hurt, to be scared, to be lonely, confused. So if you are there, I can show you how to get to where I am, like cross that bridge, if you will, and get those results. But I can't show it on paper. So I minimize myself. There comes the embarrassment if I'm asked, well, how long have you been doing this? Or what do you know how to do? I'm like, I freeze. The words just won't come out. And I don't know how to ask for the money. Just like Julian was saying, ask for the money. The house is easy. It's already listed according to the, to what's in the community, right? But what I do, I'm like, oh, geez, I don't. And then I want to help them, and I feel bad for them. I don't want to charge them, you know. So there's a lot of mixed stuff in there.
Totally, I get that. I get that. I mean, it's so true. As soon as you start selling a house, you're like, it's not really my house. I'd love to know what would happen if you sold a house that you yourself built. You know, and put all your love and energy into it. Cause then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I built this house. Is it good enough? Is it, you know, but this is so important. We have about 10 minutes left because we need to finish a little bit early to jump over to the collaborative call. But this is really important. Nancy, I saw you had your hand raised, as well as Michael again. Do you want to chime in real quick
I can chime in. You know, thanks for bringing this up. I realized that this thing about status is a key, it's been a key thing in my whole life. And even though I have had a lot of spiritual help, I have codes for food and nourishment, and that's inherent in who I am. When it comes down to getting out there and being, you know, especially in the entrepreneurial space, it's like, well, what do they tell you? Oh, you got to become the authority in your niche. You have to be better than, you know, and I know that on a soul level, I set it up So I would have all this synchronicity. I'm doing the book with Beyond Coincidence with Crystal, right? And all these synchronicities, and on a soul level, you just can't make the stuff up either, but they were to elevate or to build a foundation of me, you know, so I know, you know, and I've done all this stuff so I can have authority. But it is, it's been a, you know, it's been a real challenge to have that. And it's cultural. It's not, and it's cultural and it's business. It's not just us. Right?
Totally.
That's what they tell you, right? Yeah. Totally. Anyway, so.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. That's, I mean, it's super important. I mean, the culture aspect is huge. We have this thing in Australia called the tall poppy syndrome. Anyone heard of it?
Tall the poppy what? Syndrome.
It's called the tall poppy. It comes from a tall poppy in the field. Is a flower, and
a poppy.
Yeah. So often.
Oh, okay. I thought you said puppy.
No, not puppy, like right? Puppy. Yeah, tall poppy. And so every time the flower goes up, it gets pulled down. Like people chop it. And so that's what the culture here is in Australia. As soon as you get bigger than everyone else, they chop you down. That's the overall culture. We have one more S that I want to explore here. That's the mental handbrake. You know, I call them a mental handbrake because it's kind of like trying to move the car forward while you have the handbrake on. You're trying to accelerate while also there's the handbrake. And that's what a lot of us are doing in business. As soon as you release the handbrake, then you can move forward with a lot more ease. That's what we're after. Now, you still have to learn how to drive it, but there's a very good start to take the handbrake off. Let's get into the last one. Your success set point. Your success set point. Anyone here read Gay Hendricks' book? The Great Leap or The Big Leap. I think it's called Big Leap. He runs into these things called your upper limit. You have an upper limit problem. There's a limit of your success that you find uncomfortable. No doubt there would be, for most people, there would be a level of income that's uncomfortable to you. Having an amount of money in your bank account that's uncomfortable to you. There will be a level that's uncomfortable at the lower end and at the higher end. Some people are comfortable with $2,000 in their bank. Some people are comfortable with $200. Some people are uncomfortable going lower than $200,000. For some, it's $200 million. We all have a set point where what we feel comfortable below and or above. What is that set point and is it serving you? Do you know what I'm saying here? Some people, their body freaks out. They're uncomfortable as soon as they are earning less than $20,000 a month. Some people's $2,000 a month. Some people's $200 a month. Some people are you know, just comfortable not earning. Everyone's different. But what is your set point? What is your lower limit and upper limit of where you feel comfortable in your success in business? I find it really entertaining. I shouldn't say entertaining, but I find it really interesting with my own behavior. You know, I'll have 5 or 6 clients and I might be, you know, going very smooth. But then if I get more than 12 clients, I'm like, okay, that's uncomfortable for me. If I get fewer than 3, I like buckle down and here we go again. And it's just interesting to watch this. I have this window, right? This window of a success set point. And it's like, if I want that window to increase, where I feel comfortable, I need to shift the way I see the world and how I relate to the world so that my nervous system can catch up. You know, this is where a lot of the affirmations come into play. A lot of the, you know, your self-identity comes into play. A lot of your you know, personal development work, where you just get more and more comfortable with getting to your upper limit. More and more uncomfortable with a level of success that is where your lower limit is higher. Make sense? Your lower limit is higher, so that you will do your identity and your consistency and behavior will remain consistent with being above a certain amount that's going to serve you. So question, where is your success set point? What does your income need to drop below, just below where your nervous system starts freaking out a little bit? Vice versa. As soon as you reach an upper limit, there'll also be a level of, you know, feeling uncomfortable. Where is that? So I can guarantee you, if your success set point is at here, and you all of a sudden welcome something up here, you'll self-sabotage yourself to get back down to where it feels comfortable. Very similar to, as soon as you go below a certain amount that you're uncomfortable, you will work like hell to get back up to what's comfortable. Make sense? But we can control where that window is. You actually have control over where that window is. Take some work, but you can harmonize your nervous system to regulate at different intervals of success. Make sense? Adolf Merkel, he was one of the richest men in the world, in the top 100 richest men in the world. And I forget what happened. Something happened. All of a sudden, he jumped out of the top 100 successful people in the world, or richest people in the world, and committed suicide. He jumped in front of a train. He had a success set point that was tied to an identity. And when it didn't match that, despite having hundreds of millions of dollars, he just couldn't take it. That's to give you an extreme example. But where is your success set point? Is it serving you? And what needs to happen for you to regulate it to a new level? Was this helpful? We all have some notes, some awareness. We've run out of time, unfortunately. But what I'll do, I think maybe next week we can jump on another call and start working towards this. How does that sound? Maybe we'll be able to start identifying this as part two, and maybe we can work together in resolving some of this, because I know some of you have expertise in self-sabotage. So maybe we can work together in helping us move forward with these. How does that sound? All good? Beautiful.
Thank you.
Awesome. I'll put the link to the collaborative call here in the Zoom chat. Here we go. We're starting in 5 minutes. If you want to jump on there, meet some cool people and keep this momentum going, then let's do that. And if you have any questions, reach out to me, okay? Reach out to me on Facebook and let me know. We'll be able to continue this moving forward, okay? Thanks for everyone being here. I'll see you guys next time, okay? Thanks all.
Thanks for listening to the Awaken Your Business podcast. If you're a heart-centered business owner, you know that selling, marketing, and business strategy can bring up a lot of fear, doubt, and scarcity. And this is why I created the community on Facebook called The Serving Circle. It's in here where you get to grow your business as a byproduct of asking the question, how may I serve? It's on our weekly Zoom collaborative calls where you get to serve by meeting like-minded people and organizing collaborations, service exchanges, and partnerships. So together we can heighten consciousness through business success. So just search The Serving Circle in your Facebook groups, and you'll see that you're just one heartfelt collaboration away from reaching your biggest business goal. Take care now.